that scares me when it goes that fast. All right. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. It's going to be a little bit different this morning. I'm only going to use a few verses here to set up a subject that's not, it's going to be a little different. I've been teaching and still got a couple of lessons to go about what's going to go on, what will be taking place, some of the things the Bible tells us about in the millennial reign, the kingdom age, when Christ comes back and sits on the throne. Pretty obvious he's not on the throne today. And I've probably got a couple more lessons with that. But I had a question that's caused me to answer, I feel like, this morning, in case it's a question from only one person, but in case that somebody else has a question or don't know anything about it. Somewhat technical, a little bit legal. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you have an analogy here of Paul, of course, the Lord through Paul, writing the analogy of the human body. Church at Corinth had a lot of problems. One of the things was they were arguing about who had the best spiritual gifts, and Paul is trying to tell them you're all part of one body, and somebody might have it might be a diversity of gifts. Some might have this, somebody else have that. That's not my subject this morning, just the fact that he used the body as an example, and I want to read just a little bit of that, starting in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, for the body, talking about the human body, the body is not one member, but many. Then he gives the analogy. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You drop something on your toe, you know it's part of the body, don't you? Talk about the human body here. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I'll tell you one thing, the eye is one of the smaller parts, but you get something in it and it lets you know it's part of the body, don't it? So he's making the analogy here, which we understand. And he does it with the hearing in verse 17. And he says in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Now the analogy to the church, somebody in the church may have one talent, somebody another, some like me, none. Brother Cruz there can sing, I'm gonna stay out of his department, because I can't. I tell you what is wise sometimes is to learn what you can do and what you can't do. Sometimes it's funny to see some folks try some things they can't do. But a little bit embarrassing sometime, in fact. But anyway, there's the analogy there. And it's talking, of course, about the church body. Now, verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Then verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now, you say, what's that got to do with what? Well, I've had a question asked me concerning incorporation. About a church being incorporated. What I just read you is a picture of a church being the most perfect picture of a corporation that there is. Our forefathers, in the days of writing the Constitution and other days, learned a lot. James Madison and others learned a lot by attending a small Baptist church and saw how it was done under congregational rule. In fact, the Bill of Rights that we put so much importance on, like the Second Amendment, of course, the First Amendment being the biggest one, was inspired by his attending a Baptist church and seeing how they conducted themselves. So, this was what brought in the First Amendment, and it was Baptists. It was Baptists that did that. Baptists can take a merit badge for the fact that they stood, and you probably wouldn't have the Bill of Rights we have in the Constitution except for a local Baptist church and the impression it made on our legislators at that time when our country was just really getting on its feet. Anyway, I'm changing a little bit from a subject because I was asked a question. Now, I thought I'd teach on it. My question seems to be kind of accusatory, like maybe we are doing something wrong as a church if we're incorporated. Now, that could just be the way I read it, so I'm not going to give the person's name, a church member, that asked it. I want to explain and make sure everybody understands what I'm talking about. The question was, when was our church incorporated, and when were we told that it was incorporated? Well, I don't know, because I wasn't here. It was incorporated in 1965 when they built the first building. So that's 7 years before I got here. So I guess I'd plead innocent if something wrong was done. Nothing wrong was done, of course. I'll give you an explanation about that. What the word basically means is what I read in the text. It's many being treated as though they were one. Many members in a church, and yet the church is the body. Just like I got hands and feet and eyes and ears and so forth, it's still one body. It has got many members. So what you have today in a corporation, be it a business or be it a church, you have it being treated and looked at as one, though it's made up of many different members. Now, I'll go a little further on that as we go. Basically, the word, you look it up in your dictionary, means many merged into one body. New Testament local church is the best example of that. And again, as I say, inspired our forefathers quite a bit. Now, way back, our government gave us a legal tool to use if we wanted to. Let me say this. Nobody fights government intrusion more than I have. You won't find any preacher that's done that. At the same time, don't ever get the idea that the government, it almost looks like it today, can never do anything good. But the truth is, the government's supposed to be of the people and for the people and by the people. And so America has a tremendous foundation in our government. And what's wrong today, basically what is wrong in the last many, many years, is God's best people pulled out of having anything to say in government and let the wrong crowd take over and lead the wrong way. And that's the fault of Christians. I still believe today that if Christians spoke up like they should, things would get better. But we don't. Now, in church and around each other, we'll gripe about it and we'll whine about it and we'll say, I can't believe that, but that's about far as it goes. In fact, it's a shame about half of God's people don't vote when they could. And so when you don't vote, because I don't like either one of them, well, when you don't vote, the worst one gets it. You're actually voting for the worst one when you don't vote. So I want to get off of that a little bit to get back to my subject here. But I want to say sometimes the government has some things we ought to use, and rightfully so, and Christians pay taxes like anybody else, and so you have rights. Basically, your roads out there are government roads. Did you know that? Now, when you leave here, don't get in your car and drive down the side just because that's a road made by the government and you're not going to use it. You say, that's ridiculous. I've seen some folks almost that bad. It is funny and yet stupid. I had a couple of families, and there's some far out people. Just what I'm saying right now, they're going to take issue with me. There's some far out people in places that don't understand what I'm talking about. And hopefully when I get through, you will understand it. There's some families came here. I knew them. Their pastor called me from out of state, and he said, they're coming by. He said, you may want to talk to them before you let them join your church. He said, they're saved. They're good people. But he said, they're really far out. I said, well, I will talk to them. Sure enough, they came, and like I say, pretty good except for some extreme ideas. First thing, they didn't have a tag on their car on purpose. They would not let a baby be born in a hospital and have a birth certificate. They had these crazy ideas, almost like they were already in the tribulation period and the Antichrist was in charge. That's the way they treated everything. So I talked to them, and I found out it was really far out. I mean, a bunch of stuff. And I told them I disagreed with that, and I didn't want that kind of poison spread around in my church to others. And I recommended they go somewhere else. Well, they did go somewhere else, but they wouldn't have them either. And so they wound up starting a little work, and it didn't last, and I don't know where they went after that. But I remember talking to them. One of them was going to jail pretty regular because they'd catch him without a tag on his car. They'd leave him in jail a while and finally get tired of feeding him and let him out, and he'd do the same thing again. That really happened several times that I knew of while they were in the area. I asked him, I said, well, they wasn't gonna drive a car on Caesar's Road. I said, have a tag. I said, look, you're driving on the road, you're using it, so you're cheating. You're not driving on the side of the road, you're driving on the pavement. I said, now, you know, what you're doing is you're sponging off of me and every other taxpayer that paid for that road. I said, and I'd go around and around with them about it, but they had that stupid idea. Now, this thing I'm talking about right here comes in that same category, very, very close. Now, let me give you a little bit of explanation about it. Way back, our government recognized the church as being a corporate union, a corporate organization, but they did not mandate that you take a form and send it in and be legally listed as an incorporation. They do not demand that. You don't have to do it. If you do it, you can drop it anytime you want to. All you pay is a clerical fee. We say, well, why would we want to do it? I think before I get through, you're going to really appreciate the fact that we are listed with the government as an incorporation. So if you look at Landmark Baptist Church sometime in our headings and papers, you'll see Landmark Baptist Church, Inc., I-N-C, period, incorporated. Landmark Christian School, Landmark Baptist College, all under that one church corporation, on the umbrella of the church. And you'll see, you'll understand a little bit why about that. Not commanded, but the wise thing to do for business sake. For instance, you folks that give, you put it in an envelope, or you write a church check, and it goes to the church office, and we record it. So at the end of the year, we can send you a statement that when you fill out your income taxes, you can list your charitable giving. I gave Landmark Mark Baptist Church $1.5 million. Wouldn't that be great? Whatever you gave. Now, you can do that. Now, the government recognizes a legitimate place to give you money, a charitable giving, as the church. Now, in the old days, churches was treated as a corporate organization. And still, if you took it to court and you argued with a good judge, and that's hard to find nowadays, they'd still recognize the church as being the original, probably best picture of a corporation. But by having it already in a legal form, it's a lot easier to go and pick up the legal form, and here's proof. So when IRS says, all right, did John Jones give this much? Well, he gave it to Landmark Baptist Church. That is a legitimate church down there. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to move a little bit further. To be incorporated is a great advantage as a legal tool for several reasons. While it's not government commanded, it's the wise thing to do for business sake. This church was incorporated around 1964 or 5 because that's when they built the first building. When they built the first building, they had to borrow. And no bank is going to loan you money. No lending institution is going to loan you money unless you're incorporated. The first thing they will ask you is about your incorporation papers. And while it's not expensive, it's just a clerical file, it gives you a legitimacy. Any bunch of people can gather around somewhere, and in a sense, they can call themselves a church, and in a sense, they can be right. But unless they've been established long enough to really prove that, most lending institutions are not going to lend you anything. No bank is not going to deal with you. And insurance companies are not going to insure you. Say, well, why would they be afraid? Here's why. Because if you get sued, you're not sued as one body. You can be sued as different members. If you're not incorporated as a body, recognized as a body, then you can be sued individually. That is scary business, folks. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't join a church that was incorporated. I wouldn't join one that wasn't, because I don't want to be singled out and held responsible. It's a body. The Bible says it's a body. Our government for almost 200 years have recognized it, in fact, that long, as a body. And so to make it legit, let's have it on record, and then you can deal with the banks, and you can deal with the insurance companies, and you can borrow money from this one or that one, or you can be treated legally like John Doe's business down there that's incorporated. Why is a business incorporated? For the same protection when it comes to being sued that we need as a church. Let me give you some examples about it. Legal protection. Most of you know who CLA is, Christian Law Association. David Gibbs. They insist, as soon as the church gets started, as soon as it has an organization meeting and is formed as a church, go ahead and get yourself listed legally in the state government as being incorporated. Because in this so happy age today, somebody is going to trip on your step. They're going to fall in your parking lot. They're going to get a suit against you, and you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble. Whereas if they sue you as a body, legal body, that's one thing. But they say, well, that church don't have much money, but John Doe goes there and he has a home paid for. He has something, so we put his name on the list. And you say, that's hypothetical. No, it's not hypothetical at all. The member then becomes the one with the deep pocket, not the church body. So I am, of course I'm defending the position, but like I say, church was incorporated before I came here. Now the church I pastored for 3 years was in the country. I don't know that we could spell incorporation then. Now I'm joking, that was 40 something years ago. They'd never borrowed a dime from nobody. They had a building they'd built. And I truthfully don't know at that time when I pastored it, if they were incorporated. But I know now, because they did borrow some money since I left there and built a building. So I will guarantee you they did get incorporated, or no bank would have loaned them the mortgage to have built the building. I'm just assuming that. I haven't asked, but I'm almost sure. Now, it's the wise thing to do for business sake, loans, mortgages, IRS, checking who gave what, giving you credit for giving, insurance. Legal protection. Christian Law Association would insist on that. They would never defend you if you were not listed as being incorporated. This is a Suzy society today. Suey, suey, suey. That's what everybody's wanting to do. And here's what it would mean. Let me give you a little. Let's say a church has 100 members, and so-and-so gets hurt on the parking lot or in one of their buses. Trips on the rug, whatever. And they file a $1 million lawsuit against the church. The church has 100 members, but it's not incorporated. The church building's not worth $1 million. They're not insured, so the lawyers go after every member. Now, if you got 100 members in the church, $1 million, what is that, $10,000 apiece? I believe it is. You see why I'd be a little leery of being a member of a church that wasn't incorporated. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just giving you some basic facts for the culture and the day we live in and the risk that even a church faces today. Now, the truth is, somebody says, well, I'm not going to join that church that's incorporated. Well, you better go find you one, because you're going to look hard to find one that's not. If they've borrowed to build a building, if they're insured, most likely 99% they're going to be incorporated. It's just wise. Any lawyer is going to tell them that. Now, my own experience proves something out here. When I came to the church, we were very small. They did have that first building over there, which we still had. They had barred on it. They had borrowed on to pay the building, to build the building. Even the pews we were sitting on was mortgaged. And they were incorporated. Time went on. We began to grow. And we got into the bus ministry. And somewhere in the middle 70s, and there's a man sitting here right now that knows exactly what I'm talking about. He was on the bus when it happened. We had an accident. And somewhere in the 70s, we had an accident. And the lawyers that sued us. Now, most of the time, an accident like that is settled. But here was a case where parents that did not come to church and a kid got hurt a little bit, they thought they saw, you know, the golden duck. So they sued us. I sat in court from a Monday morning to a Friday, almost dark. A whole week, no fun. I guarantee you, no fun. I had sat in court and hear the case out. Now, the first notice I had that we were being sued was when I got a personal letter and my deacons got a personal letter that we were individually being sued. The reason we got those letters that we were individually being sued was the lawyers that was doing it thought, since we had been incorporated way back in 1965, that we had probably let it lapse. So they were looking for who might have a house or anything they could take. Now, I want to tell you the truth, that was pretty scary to me. The size of my salary then, the old car I was driving, where I was living, I sure didn't see where they were going to get much out of me, but they were going to get every deacon. And then if that wasn't enough, they were going to start on church members. So you see, I've had that experience. I was there. I was a week in court. The good thing was I found a Christian lawyer, and he went through the records in Tallahassee, our state capital, and he found out we were still incorporated like it had been done back in 1965, and here it was in the late 70s. And they could not sue me. They could not sue the deacons. They could not sue a church member. They had to sue the corporate body, the church. And that corporate body was covered by the insurance policy. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's personal. That's personal testimony. And that's why I say I would be very leery. I would not pastor a church that was not incorporated. I would not even want to join one that wasn't. So if somebody thinks being incorporated is wrong, you just don't understand what we're talking about. Now, the legal protection that comes from being treated as a body instead of as separate members individually, that was a scary time for us. And I praise God for the wisdom and foresight that the pastor before me here had when it came to having things set up correctly and legally. Brother Bill Edmondson was the man that the church was incorporated under, and many of you remember him. And of course, again, he worked with loaning institutions just like we've had too. And of course, they told him the same thing that I'm telling you this morning. Now, it is a good legal tool, just like that highway out there is a good legal road for you to drive your car on. We use things that government is behind. If I have need of it, I'll call a policeman. I'll call a sheriff. I'll call something connected with government. They're there to serve. That's what they are. So don't go nuts about government in the wrong sense. Now, we're against all the intrusion. We're against all the bad stuff that's going on. And let me say this, the bad stuff that's going on is violating the Constitution. It's unconstitutional, much of what is happening today. And so we're very much against that. At the same time, I'm not going to cut off my nose to spite my face, that's what Mama used to say, and be stupid. And that's what sometimes happens. I was in a preacher's meeting south of here several years ago, I try to condemn sin. I'm going to be honest now. I'm a little blunt here. I try to condemn sin to ignorance as best I can. Now, here's what I mean. I don't want to embarrass anybody just because they don't know what they're talking about. That don't mean I got to join in and say amen to it. I'll try to be as kind as I can be in certain circumstances. And so we were in a preacher's meeting, and they wanted a question and answer time, and they put a bunch of us preachers up on the platform. I don't like that too much. They done that to me in the Philippines till I about lost my voice. They let me preach, but what they really wanted was to ask me questions. And anyway, that turned out all right, except I wore out at it. But I was in this preacher's meeting down south. I sat up on the platform, and there was three or four men up there that come up with this theme that if the church was incorporated, it was taking the mark of the Antichrist. Now, it was pretty hard to sit there and not embarrass somebody. I tried. I done my best to be as nice as I could in the situation. But now, folks, that is ridiculous. And I gave this illustration to them that I'm fixing to give you right here. Because they were well-meaning men, but misinformed, badly misinformed. And so I tried to get them to understand, if you want to be incorporated, that's voluntary. You can send in a form and have your church recognized as a corporation. You're not mandated to, and you can withdraw at any time you want to. Now, when the mark of the Antichrist comes, it'll be mandatory. Amen. And not only that, you won't withdraw it. And it won't be for your benefit. So it's a far out thing to make such a comparison as they were making in that particular case. Now, let me put it this way. I'm hearing some competition somewhere. Is it a kid somewhere? I don't know. All right, yeah, try to keep her a little bit quiet there for me, please. I'm sure she's getting every word of what I'm saying, this mess of stuff. There's some adults out there probably about as bored as she is. Anyway, come on back with me. I gave them this illustration. I said, now, we all believe the rapture's coming. Amen. Gonna get out of here before the Antichrist gives his mark to everybody, right? But let's hypothetically make an assumption, just for illustration's sake, that the rapture don't come, and the Antichrist does show up first, and he is taking over with his world government. Let's just make that assumption. So if he does, he's going to do what they're doing today in China, and over there the Muslims are doing, destroying churches. Amen. Everywhere you look, they're destroying churches, right. Killing Christians. Now let's imagine the Antichrist is going down the road with his entourage, his long line of cars. As he goes down the road, there's a church on this side of the road, and church on that side of the road, and church at this corner, and church at that corner. So he says, all right, destroy that one and that one because they're incorporated. Leave the ones that aren't. Do you think, is that even reasonable? Don't you think he'd destroy them all? Of course he would. Whether you were incorporated or not, wouldn't have a thing to do with it. So get off this foolishness that to be incorporated is to take the mark of the beast, or to be under the government control. It is not. It is a tool I can use, just like a paved road, or a police department, or anything else. And so be wise in thinking when you hear stuff like that. Be kind as you can, but it's not accurate. And it is a tool that helps us. It's pretty hard today. If you can go out and raise all the money cash and build your own building and so forth, and your property's paid for, you can probably get by without being incorporated until you get sued, and then you're going to be in trouble. And don't think the devil don't know how to set you up and get you in trouble. He certainly can. And I just took time out of Sunday school to teach on this, because I had a question Here on this card, I won't read it, and I won't read the person's name, not wanting to embarrass anybody. But it sounds like, when did it happen, and how come we were not informed? Well, it happened before I got here. And if you vote today not to undo it, you're going to have to vote in another preacher, because I'll run scared. Amen. Because I got enough sense to know what you better do and what you better not. If you violate some good common sense, the devil's going to set it up to where he gets you, where he hurts you. And that ought to be enough, and I hope this was taped. Somebody nod their head up. I can't see the tape room. Mark it if it is taped. Yeah, thank you. Mark it if it is taped, because I don't ever have to speak on it again and take time out of Bible lesson to do that. But what I just said to you, of course, my deacon board, my bookkeeping, and so many people here in the church understand exactly what I'm talking about. If there are any in business at all, they understand what we're speaking about here. It's a wise thing. And while the church is naturally a corporation, it's a wise thing to have it recognized. And so anybody can go on a website, they can go call the capital of the state, they can find out, and don't think they don't do it today. Brother, we in a day and time where they hold it in their hand, they check out what color your hair is and whether you've got a bump between your nose or not. I mean, they can get it all and just hold it in their hand. I can't, but they can. And they're doing that. And you hear about the hackers all the time and the cons and the cheats. Every now and then, it's amazing how somebody gets involved and gets their whole bank account cleaned out. You got to watch it today. And the church has had attacks already at different times with things like that. My secretaries can tell you about the cons we have received over the phone and in the mail that you would not believe. And sometimes they're pretty slick. I talked to Sheriff Judd about one of them. He said, I've never seen one quite that elaborate. But it was just to con us. They sent us a $15,000 check. It looked so good. Only trouble is you got to send them back their percentage of it. Looks like you was going to clear about $10,000. You send them a real one for $5,000. They let you have the fake one for $15,000. I let the sheriff look at it. He said, that's slick. That is really, I mean, they had every little detail. But it was false. It was a con. That's the kind of attacks. Because when a church gets our size and as well known as we are, there's some bad crooks out there that says there's a good target. Let's go after them. And so for that reason,